Thank you, youth choir.
You open your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 23.
Acts 23. Yes, it's in the same direction. It's the days of the Lord, things like that. Is that good? I'm going to be able to get in the front of the book, but I'm not able to do that. Does that make sense to you? Tonight's message is entitled John is in control. And the text is found in Acts 23, verses 12 through 35. I invite you to follow along as I read from God's word. The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets there." But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went to the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the priest has sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, put him aside, and asked,
"What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." Commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide mounts for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him. But I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law. But there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. And the next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to them. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. I read something the other day that I thought was rather humorous. A person wrote that God put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things, and right now I'm so far behind, I will never die. You ever felt like that? You bet. I expect we've all felt that way at times. Perhaps many of us here tonight feel that way. Well, it's not really quite true. Just because you're behind in things you feel like you ought to do doesn't mean that you're never going to die. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die. And every one of us has a rendezvous with death. And yet, I want you to know tonight that God's servants are immortal until their work for God is done. And no servant of God will ever die a premature death. Now that servant of God may die in young adulthood, but it will not be premature. And we see this in this passage for our consideration tonight. We see this in the life and the ministry of this missionary apostle, Paul. God had a work for Paul. God had something for Paul to accomplish, a mission for Paul to achieve, a work for Paul to do. And no one or no thing could thwart God's plan in Paul's life. You'll recall from previous chapters, chapters 21 and 22, that Paul had made his way back to Jerusalem. He had been collecting an offering for the church in Jerusalem in his missionary travels, and now he's come back to Jerusalem. And when he goes to Jerusalem, some of the Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem stir up a riot. They try to have Paul killed. And Paul is rescued by the Roman soldiers. And then he gives his testimony there, recorded in Acts chapter 22, before all that crowd of people there. And then the next day he comes and stands trial before the Sanhedrin, which is the highest court of the Jewish people. And we saw that last Sunday night as we looked in chapter 23, the first 11 verses there. And so we see that Paul is he's facing peril and danger and unrest. There are those who wanted to kill Paul and take his life prematurely. But Paul had an ambition to preach in Rome. Now hold your place here in Acts 23 for just a bit and turn over just a few pages to Romans chapter 1. It's just three or four pages over in your Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul had already written to the church in Rome these words. "That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome." One of Paul's great ambitions was to go into Rome and preach the gospel. So he had gone to Jerusalem. He was there for the Passover. He was there to give the offering to the Jewish Christians there, those who were believers in Jesus as the Messiah. But he found himself in trouble and was arrested. And by being arrested, was rescued by the Romans. And now he's in prison here in Jerusalem. Now if we go back to chapter 23, and let's go back to verse 11, which is the last verse we considered last Sunday evening. We read in chapter 23, Acts 23, verse 11, that while Paul is here in prison, at least under arrest, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus, came to Paul and said to him, be encouraged. Don't be despairing. Just as you've been faithful to testify in the city of Jerusalem, I will see that you get to testify in Rome. I will see that you are granted the desire of your heart. And so, that's exactly what took place. As we go through Acts, we'll find when we get to Acts chapter 28 that Paul does make it to Rome. But there were those who didn't want Paul to go to Rome. There were those who were threatened by Paul and who threatened him. The Jews were the enemies of Paul, and they wanted Paul killed. But the Jews were not in control. Now, politically, the Romans were in authority. They had authority over the Jews. They ruled the world. But from God's perspective, the Romans were not in control. Neither the Jews or the Romans were in control, but as we look at this passage, we'll see that God was in control. And He always is. Now, if you miss anything and everything I say tonight, get this next sentence, because this is the sentence this is the sermon in a sentence. God sovereignly controls human events so that His servants might fulfill His purpose in their lives. Let me give that to you again. God sovereignly controls human events. That is, the things that take place in our world. Political events, economic events, social events. God sovereignly controls those events so that His servants, His people who serve Him, might fulfill His purpose in their lives. Now, if you belong to Jesus, God has a purpose in your life. You were predestined in eternity past to be holy and blameless in His sight, and God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. It's not just for pastors and missionaries. It's for all of us. And God sovereignly is at work in the affairs of men to see that that takes place. We may think at times that the politicians are in control, but they're not in control. We may think that the captains of industry are in control, but they're really not in control. We may sometimes believe that the bankers on Wall Street really are the ones who control what happens in our world, but they're not in control either. And sometimes in our fear we may be persuaded that the terrorists who stalk our world are in control. But they're not in control either. The Bible teaches that God is in control in the lives of His servants. And He will see that His purposes are fulfilled in our lives as we yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God uses human events to affect this world. But His hand is upon those events. And sometimes God uses the unexpected. And in our text for our consideration tonight, we will see that God used an unexpected person. A young man. A powerless man. But we'll also see that God used the power of the Roman army to bring Paul to Rome. And so, I want you to see with me again in verses 12 through 22, first of all, that God uses the powerless. When I say that God uses the powerless, the person I have in mind in this passage, obviously, is Paul's nephew, a young man, perhaps 17 or 18. Maybe he was 22 or 3, but certainly not very old. We know really nothing about him other than what's here. We know very little about Paul's family. But we obviously learn here that Paul has a sister who had a son, and God used this powerless young man. This young man who was not an official, he was not a soldier, he was not a VIP, just a young man. But God used him. Look in verse 12. The next morning the Jews formed this conspiracy, and they bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Now they were deadly serious about killing Paul. They bind themselves with an oath. No food, no drink, doesn't matter how many hours it takes. We're gonna get the job done. And there were 40 of these men involved in this plot. Verse 14 says they went to the chief priests, the elders. That is, the Jewish religious leaders. And they said, look, we've taken a solemn oath. We're neither going to eat nor drink anything until Paul has been killed. And this is what we want you to do. We want you to petition a meeting of the Sanhedrin and ask the Roman commander to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin on the pretext of interrogating him again. We want more information about his case. And as he goes from this, wherever he is in arrest, to the meeting place of the Sanhedrin, we will be hiding along the way, and we'll take care of what we need to take care of. Verse 16 says that the son of Paul's sister heard about this plot. Paul's nephew heard. We don't know how he heard. Scholars debate how he might have known. No one really knows. But somehow, this young man got wind of this plot to kill Paul. And so he went to the barracks. He was granted an audience with his uncle Paul in the barracks where he was under arrest. And he shared with Paul what he had heard. And the scripture says that Paul called one of the centurions, that is a Roman soldier who had command of a military officer who had command of 100 soldiers, and he said, take this young man to the commander for he has something to share with the commander. And so the centurion did. And when the commander heard it, the scripture says that he took the information to the official who was in charge of all the Romans there in Jerusalem. In fact, we see that in verse 22. He said, the Jews, this is what Paul's nephew said to the commander. The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin on the pretext of wanting more information. Don't give in. More than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. And they're ready, waiting for your consent. And verse 22 says, the commander dismissed him and said, don't tell anyone that you've reported this to me. Now, isn't that remarkable? That God used a young man to save Paul's life. Now, he was no big shot. Just an ordinary young man. And often that's the way God works. In fact, more often than not, that's the way God works. Hold your place in Acts 23 and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see, throughout the Bible, we see that God chooses to use what, from man's perspective, are those who are powerless. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. In other words, you weren't from the muckety-muck crowd. Verse 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before Him. God is in control. And God was in control in Paul's life and ministry, and God had purposed that Paul was to have the desire of his heart fulfilled to preach the gospel in Rome, and it didn't matter what the Jews did, God was in control. And God arranged for Paul's nephew to overhear this plot to take Paul's life, and God arranged for this nephew to be granted an audience not only with the centurion, but also with the commander. And God worked in the commander's heart to see that Paul was not taken to this trumped up interrogation where these people were lying in wait to take his life. God uses the powerless. Do you ever feel powerless? Do you feel like things are out of control in your life? That you're weak? Well, that's good news, because God uses the weak. God uses the things that are despised. God uses the things that are not. If you'll just yield yourself to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. One plus God is always a majority. God uses the powerless. But also I want you to see with me that God uses the powerful. The Romans were powerful. They ruled the world. They ruled the world for centuries. We all studied in school about the imperial glory of the Roman Empire and the Roman peace and the Roman law and the Roman legions. And the Romans were powerful, certainly in the first century. But God chose to use these pagan Roman military officials and soldiers in Paul's life. You see, God's the one in control. Look in verse 23. Then he, that is the commander, called two of his centurions and he ordered them, get ready, a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide mounts for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix. I like those odds, don't you? 40 Jews lying in wait to kill Paul, 470 armed Roman soldiers to guard him. What I call overkill. But God's in control. And so, they wrote a letter. The Roman commander, Claudius Lysias, wrote a letter to Governor Felix, whose capital was not in Jerusalem, but in Caesarea. And they set out. Verse 31 says, the soldiers carrying out their orders took Paul with them during the night. They brought him as far as Antipatris. And then the next day, some of the soldiers went back, and Paul went ahead with the cavalry, and then they arrived in Caesarea. They delivered the letter to the governor, which Claudius Lysias had written to Governor Felix. And Governor Felix said, when your accusers get here, I'll hear your case. And he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Now, it's one thing to be in prison, but it's not so bad to be imprisoned in a palace. His quarters weren't that bad. He was being protected. God uses the powerful because their power comes from God. That's true of any governmental official. It's true of any military power anywhere on the face of the earth today or in all of recorded history. God raises one up and God puts another down, but God is in control. And God had a mission for Paul, and God was at work in the events of mankind to see that Paul made it to Rome. And that's why we can say that death will not be premature for God's servant who's in the will of God. You're not going to die before you're finished with what God has purposed for you to do. You say, well, what about Jim Elliot? And what about Nate Saint? And what about those other missionaries who gave their lives in the 1950s in the jungles of Ecuador, the hands of the Aka Indians? What about them? Men who died in their late 20s and early 30s. Men who left behind wives and children. My response would simply be, God was in control, and they had completed the mission for which God had redeemed them. They had done their life's work. And in their death, they have perhaps served as a catalyst for calling out more missionaries than perhaps any other event of the 20th century. God's in control. There was another young man and his wife who went to Ecuador as missionaries. The man's name was Raymond Edmond. In June of 1926, he was just a young missionary in his mid-20s. He fell ill from typhus fever in a mountain village in Ecuador. So grave was his illness that he was carried by stretcher and then by train to a city on the coast. Soon his wife followed him to the coastal city, and she arrived at the hospital there. She discovered that the American physician who was attending him told her that her husband's feet were already cold, that he would soon die. A fellow missionary ordered that a black cloth-covered coffin be prepared for this missionary's burial. Because his wife had no black dress, she went ahead and had her wedding dress dyed black. And before he died, they set the time and date for his funeral, 3 p.m., July 4. But he didn't die. Not then. He lived many years beyond that. In fact, he lived another 41 years. He went on to become the president of Wheaton College, Wheaton, Illinois. In 1967, he was addressing the student body of Wheaton College. And as he spoke, he made a half turn and collapsed, and he passed into the presence of the King of Kings. 41 years of fruitful service since those days as a missionary when he was given up for dead. God's servants are immortal until their work is done. And God's servants will never die a premature death because God is in control. God had a job for Paul to do, and nothing could stop it. Not the Jews, not the Romans, nothing. Until he went to Rome and completed his mission. If you go about your routines this week, just remember this. If you tend to be fearful or anxious or worried, God's in control. If you belong to Jesus, He knows your name. He's numbered the hairs on your head. You don't have to be anxious. For He sovereignly rules in the affairs of men to bring about His eternal purposes. Pray with me.